Hello, and welcome to this episode of Diabetes Dialogue, Technology, Therapeutics, and Real-World Perspectives. My name is Diana Isaacs, and this is my co-host, Natalie Bellini. And we have a special episode where we are at ADA Sci Sessions in sunny San Diego, California. And our special guest today is Dr. Gary Rothenberg. And today we plan to talk about social determinants of health. And Gary, thank you so much for joining us. And if you wouldn't mind just sharing your title, your role, a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here with you this morning. I'm a podiatrist. I've been practicing for about 23 years now. I'm still an active practitioner at the University of Michigan. I also help run our fellowship program in lower extremity complication prevention. Additionally, I'm the director of medical affairs for Podometrics, which is a health tech company with the true mission of ending avoidable amputations for people living with diabetes. So happy to be here and discuss those issues, which are really important to our patients.
Yeah. Wow. That's incredible. So yeah, let's just jump right in. Talk to us a little bit about social determinants of health and how people end up needing, ending up with foot problems, ending up needing amputations, ending up not getting the care that they need, and how, what, tell us a plot. Tell us the story.
Yeah. So I'm appreciative of the opportunity to do that. So I think the diabetic foot, let's just admit it, it's not sexy. It's not getting a lot of press time. It's not getting a lot of media coverage. Things like cancer. Of course, many of our families have been touched by cancer. There's the pink ribbon for breast cancer, but your audience may not know that morbidity and mortality from diabetic foot wounds and amputations is higher than breast cancer. It's higher than prostate cancer. So there is a major problem with the diabetic foot in causing morbidity and mortality. The pathway, causal pathway to why people end up with wounds and subsequent amputations is essentially diabetic neuropathy. So our patients lose feeling in their feet. They have minor injuries and trauma. That injury goes unnoticed many times by the patient. The classic tale is they walk barefoot to take the trash out. They step on something and have no idea. And it's only at the point of infection, typically. And then there are risk factors for poor wound healing, which subsequently oftentimes lead to progression of that infection, hospitalization, and subsequent amputation. Now, what we're really coming to learn is that social determinants of health are playing a significant role. There are biologic factors like neuropathy, glucose control, all of those things. But there are other factors which clearly the motivations that our patients have to heal their wounds and avoid amputations are playing into the successes, but the challenges that our patients experience, mostly through social determinants of health, are really posing the major problems and leading to these unfortunate outcomes, which have, again, significant morbidity and mortality.
So can you talk a little bit more about that? Like, how do social determinants of health impact?
Yeah. So I'm glad we're having the conversation, and at meetings like this, where there are many talks on SDOH issues, which I think is great. There's also a lot of talk on tech, and I'm part of a tech company, done research in that field as well. And my concern or my pause is social determinants of health are playing a role in our patients' ability to use tech and incorporate tech into their daily lives. So if patients are worried about not having enough nutritious food, or that the Dollar General is their grocery store, essentially, you know, the last thing they need necessarily, or the top of their mind, is how to incorporate tech into their daily life. So I think, again, my pause is certainly that the major issues I think in healthcare today, in my opinion, are going to be access to care and inequality of care. So I'm optimistic about the role of tech that we can play in that. But sometimes tech is just a telephone, and our patients having access to us to be able to schedule an appointment. A great example, actually, using tech and social determinants of health, incorporating those two concepts. Out here in California, there's a health plan that actually can predict those patients who may be non-adherent with patient follow-up appointments. And we know that's a big problem because that affects access. So I can't call a patient at 9:15 and say, my 9 o'clock didn't show up. Can you make it here? That's a missed opportunity. That's a visit that somebody who needed to see me didn't have an opportunity to do that. But this program out here in California is using AI to predict patients who might not or have a history of not showing up for appointments. And they're using social work services to actually call those patients ahead of time and say, hey, Mr. Jones, you have an appointment with your primary doc, you know, next Wednesday, are you going to come? And if the answer is yes, then great. But if the answer is no, you take it a step further and you say, well, what's getting in the way? Is it transportation? Is it childcare issues? What are those factors? Is it the copay that you can't afford? So I love when we can incorporate tech and then utilize that to address social determinants.
That's really cool because like other strategies where you just like call everybody or you have an automatic phone or text, like that's not really necessarily effective for the people maybe that really need it. So I like how this is targeted.
And it's also not very personal. When I get a text message that says, I'm going to see my primary care and I'm worried about dinner tonight, or there's no food or the heat is going to get turned off in Cleveland, Ohio, right? I love the idea of having a social worker call because they're trained in interacting with people and say, how can we help you get here? What do we need to do? Is there a way to facilitate that visit to happen? And if not, how do we move it and get you back on the books in the right amount of time as opposed to, I have nothing left for 6 months? You know, that I think I feel that.
Any surprises with the barriers that people have?
So I think, you know, it's just asking the questions. And we're trained in school to ask those open-ended questions. And again, here's where I have pause with tech. So we're supposed to put people in boxes and categorize them using AI or using tech, but people are unpredictable, right? And we can't always accommodate for that. So again, for me, when in my particular area of passion, I can risk stratify patients as high risk for developing a foot wound, which again, subsequently goes on to amputation. But it's not about risk stratification. It's not about putting a person in an algorithm. It's what do you do with that information once you have it? And we avoid amputations and we prevent amputations when we implement the evidence-based guidelines like getting patients shoes, routine foot care, education, remote monitoring of patients. So those things, again, are the prompt, I think, that the tech will hopefully allow us to address those social determinants of health. But to specific example, to answer your question, I had a patient who was chronically late for appointments, and our trainees and the fellows, like, you know, they called him every name in the book because they made their day go longer. Well, finally, after several visits, we asked, you know, Mr. K, why are you always late for appointments? We want to see you in the morning so that you don't show up late. You know, the response was, I've trained my body to sleep until 2 p.m. because then I only have to eat twice a day. If I got up at normal hour in the morning, I'd be hungry.
Right.
So, and again, if that's the response,
we're going to make your appointment at 3 now. Great.
And are we confident about what he is eating?
Right.
I think it's, again, putting people in a box through tech I have this pause because it's still, we want individualized care.
Right.
Your point.
It's great.
Precision medicine. So in some ways, these two things are opposing each other in my brain. I'm trying to work through that. The other specific issue that we have is with social determinants of health, and I mentioned access and unequal care or healthcare inequities. As we develop tech, are we widening the gap? Are we incorporating these biases that we've already established? If you're not accessing healthcare, are those folks being incorporated into the algorithms of tech and AI? So we have to make sure that all of that is validated before we. Unfortunately, my biggest fear, at least again in my arena, is that health plans are going to adopt AI and I'm going to plug in ICD-9 codes and some health plan is going to mandate what I do.
Right. Oh, right.
That's where I see the.
Yeah. And we see it now even with prescribing. You know, you must start with this medication. Right. Well, this one's probably better for them. Too bad. They have to start it and fail it. And I'm sure you do the same thing in foot care, right? So before we can do this, which is what you really need.
Right.
First, we have to do this.
You have to fail this.
You have to fail this. It's treat to fail, right? That's what we do. We treat to fail,
yep.
You know? And that is that is really difficult kind of box to work in.
It is. And none of us spent years of medical school training. You know, our goal is not to execute the plan of a computer. It's to talk to people.
And treat the person in front of you, right? Yeah, right.
And the social determinants of health, I think, are truly, we really finally have come to realize that they are affecting outcomes. And healthcare payers need to understand that as well. And I think some of the more successful payers are providing transportation services, right? For patients to come. They have bands that go into the community. Or we're also seeing, I'm involved in education. And so we're starting to incorporate social determinants of health into medical school education. When I was in school 30 years ago,
there was nothing.
There was nothing.
Right.
So at least we're having a conversation. It's an uncomfortable conversation sometimes. And I think often as healthcare providers who are not social workers, you know, we don't ask the questions because the worst thing is when a patient gives us a response and I can't help them with that. I don't know the resource.
Right, right.
So we do need to incorporate other healthcare providers like social workers. That's their job.
Right. Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about your session that you do have here?
Yeah, so this is a great prep for it, actually. We're talking about artificial intelligence. The time is now, the role in diabetic foot complication prevention. So I'm excited. It's happening this afternoon. And again, I'm excited about tech. But again, I do have this bit of pause. And so hopefully I can bring that. It's an interactive session. It's new this year at the ADA. It's supposed to be audience-driven. So it can be, we don't know how it's going to go. We have some prompts that, you know, we're going to put up as the panelists, but hopefully it'll be very interactive and the audience will share stories and ask questions too.
Interesting. Wow. Yeah. So that'll be, really interesting with AI and how we utilize it. Because it does have a lot of potential, I think. But it's just how we utilize it. And like you said about the potential biases also with it. So.
And validate it. Like, you know, we've all seen the tweets. It's kind of funny when GTP does something, you know, for my kid who's writing a high school term paper. But it's not funny when we're deciding somebody's leg is going to be amputated or not.
Right.
So there has to be validation to AI before I think. I guess what I'm trying to say is I'm not quite sure AI is ready for healthcare prime time just yet.
Right.
We're excited about what it can offer.
Right. Because it could lead us to the decision should be in this realm as opposed to this realm, but it shouldn't lead us to this is your only option.
Right.
Because there's still a person at the end of all of this. And I think everyone that Diana and I have ever talked to, that's what we get to at the end is there's still a person. Right. So how do I... This is where this goes. So we've taken off the big bang and we get it closer. But I still, as a clinician or you as a clinician, should have that ability to say this or this and walk through that with the person in front of us to help make that decision for everyone.
So I train students and residents and fellows. And what I say is you have to treat every patient like they're your favorite person in the world.
Right.
Because they are someone's favorite person in the world.
Right.
And I'm not ready to give over my favorite person in the world's healthcare to AI just yet.
Exactly. Exactly.
So we're excited. I love where you went. Let's help it siphon and funnel down and then let us incorporate social determinants or health with the hopes, the fears, the worries, the aspirations, the dreams that our patients have, and they solve their own problems or help us negotiate those problems to get them to where they need to be and avoid the major complications, again, in my passionate field, like amputations.
Right, right. Yeah. So as non-podiatrists here, what recommendations would you have for us about how to, I guess, talk to people about their foot care? Because like you said, like amputations are, they are not sexy. They are like, that's like the ultimate scary complication that people are just fearful of against, I don't know, cause diabetes distress. People, there's so much fear around it. So any recommendations of like how to talk to people about it or what, I don't know, where to...
Yeah, so we're at the ADA meeting. The ADA obviously recommends a comprehensive foot exam for every patient with diabetes at least annually. What do we expect from primary care colleagues? We know you all are crazy busy dealing with all of these issues. So a simple screening for potential foot complications, inclusive of symptoms of neuropathy, simply asking your patients, do you have burning, tingling, pins and needles, or numbness in your feet? Done. If they do, of course, they have potential neuropathy, they're at higher risk. Asking them questions about vascular disease. Have you had an MI or a stroke? If it's happening centrally, it's happening peripherally.
Right.
And do they smoke, of course? A cursory foot exam to feel for pulses, temperature of the foot, observe for hair growth. And then are there any foot deformities that potentially put them at risk? So from a primary care colleague perspective, again, simple screening, those three main areas. And I also am a big believer in patients need to be their own advocates as well. So, you know, patients come into my clinic all the time and they have just visited with their primary care physician and they come to me and there's a wound on the foot. I said, didn't you show this to your primary care doc? No, I didn't take my shoes off. So I'm a big believer in you're going to sit there probably a few minutes waiting for your primary care doc. I'm a patient in a system too. We all sit in that room waiting on our doc.
Right.
Take your shoes and socks off.
Right.
So that, again, it's a visual cue. So
they saw those feet. Yes, they did that in it. Right.
They have that time and kind of buy-in and investment in their own health care. Because, again, the neuropathy is the root of all evil in this process. If they don't have the ability to feel, and let's face it, a lot of our patients with diabetes have mobility issues. These, I think with a healthy person who's normal weight, it's difficult to see the bottom of your feet.
Right.
So you have neuropathy. For years, we've always preached, you have to look at your feet every day. I've actually changed my mantra to a tactile exam. So again, because patients, we know these patients have retinopathy, they have issues with eye disease. They have mobility issues, the flexibility issues, obesity issues. So if they touch their feet every day, that's a good recommendation.
Interesting, right?
Yeah, it is.
It is rare.
Kind of
right. Yep. And not only what you're looking for, even, right? Some of it is just like, is this an aging process? Is this normal? Is this not normal? You know, those kinds of things. I also think that one of the things I did a consult the other day, and this person, I could see in their chart all the referrals. It was like they came into a new primary care one time, and this is not against primary care. I think we all tend to do, okay, lots of things are around here, so I'm sending you to cardiology, neurology, podiatry, this one, that one, retinology. Maybe what we should do is just prioritize here, right? And do one appointment and bring them back, and one appointment and bring them back, and one appointment. The challenge is, do I have space to do that, right? But if you just hand them a bunch of things and say, go, what is the chance of success in that, right? So sometimes it's just one thing at a time.
How many times has the specialist seen a patient and, you know, why are you here, Mr. Jones? I have no idea.
You know, too.
My primary
Right.
So where's the buy-in?
Right. And just convince, saying, this is really important, right? If we can protect your eyes, your kidneys, your whatever, we're sending you here because of this, and give a reason for it. And then you're going to come back and we're going to talk about it, right? And not say we have 11 people for you to see in the next 8 weeks. It's not going to happen, right? And you see these old referrals that have never been, you know, they've never been done. They've never been completed. And they're going here and they're going there. And then they have to go to, you know, it's a lot. It's a lot.
Right. There's it's a job.
It's a family job, right? So I think that's a big part of it, too, is just trying to help a person that's sitting in front of you stratify the importance of different things and how they're going to work and what the overall plan is. We have multiple people we need you to see. Today, we're going to send you here, right? This is the most critical. I think that's very important.
I like that a lot. For sure.
Yeah.
Well, awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us. This has been such an interesting conversation.
Yeah.
Wishing you a great rest of your meeting. And thanks, everyone, for tuning in to this episode of Diabetes Dialogue at ADA Sci Session.
Thank you.
Thank you.